So hey, Ray, hold 9 yards.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Yeah, they don't know that we took a little vacation. They just think we're here every week.
Sure, that's the magic of TV.
Yeah.
Or podcasts.
I know.
But yes, it's good to be here. Whole
it
nine
is.
Yards.
What happened?
Whole 9 yards.
Whole 9 yards. I gotta turn you up.
Okay, I could turn myself up.
No.
Okay, I won't touch myself over here.
All right then. So, and in doing this here, being back when we never left.
Never.
The whole thing about this is we'd like to say, you know, please subscribe if you like this.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a rating.
Review.
And reach out to us on the Instagrams and the tweets. The Twitter. With the @whole9yardspod, that 9 is a 9, whole9yardspod, right?
Yes,
correct. Follow us on the Facebooks with whole9yardspodcast, that 9 is a 9.
9.
Number.
Numbers.
Digging it.
Yeah.
Today, Ray, what do we have?
Well, sorry, I was dying.
No, I kept talking. I should have just asked and then stopped and listened.
It's okay. Body parts.
Oh, body
is
parts.
Our umbrella today.
I was hoping for sayings.
We'll get back to those, I'm sure.
Body parts.
Body parts. Yeah.
Well, you feel like going first. What's your body part?
Definitely. I am going to ask you a question.
Good.
To lead us in.
I like it.
So, in that episode of The Simpsons, Homer versus the 18th Amendment. Homer is describing a job that he's doing, and I want you to tell me what you think that job is after I give you the description.
Jeez Louise.
No, it's not. It's going to be.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. He's telling Marge what he's doing after she catches him with red-handed. I fill the balls with beer that I find at the dump and then bowl them in some underground pipes, taking them into Moe's. And then Marge says, Homer, that's very clever. So what do you think Homer's doing in this when he's bowling beer that he found into Moe's secretly?
Wow, is this a trick question?
I don't know. I thought it was easy.
He's bowling beer into Moe's.
See,
he's bootlegging.
Yes, nice. We got it. Bootlegger, yes. My word is bootleg, and I will shoehorn it in. Don't worry.
If he were red-handed, we'd know he had killed somebody.
I was going to say caught red-handed.
Yeah.
But I left it out.
You did say it.
Did I say red-handed?
Yeah.
Oh. Then, great. Wow.
But we already know that. That episode's aired, hasn't it? Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert. Yes, this is one of the finest episodes that I think.
All right.
Yes. But bootleg.
No, I meant our red-handed one.
Oh, yeah.
Remember I
had
red-handed.
Oh, yeah, ours was great. Yes.
That aired, yes?
It did, for sure.
Spoiler alert.
That was early. Yeah, okay. Spoiler alert. But my idiom is bootleg this time. And this idiom is derived from the term bootleg, which was defined as the practice of smuggling illicit items in the legs of tall boots, particularly the smuggling of alcohol. And I have small knives, smaller knives in parentheses here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know this one.
Right.
But go on.
Well, it's more just me telling fun stories about that. It's kind of straightforward.
Okay. I like fun stories.
I mean, I say fun stories.
Sure.
This was on Wiktionary, and I didn't find specifically another use, but it was interesting. The late 1700s, it says originally a nickname given to smugglers in King George's, during King George's reign. Like, so, you know, revolutionary American times, his smugglers, like his personal smugglers, were called bootleggers. I didn't find much more corroboration on that specifically, but I did find a smuggler listed as a definition of bootlegger.
Smuggler equal bootlegger.
Yeah.
Well, you'd hide what you were that which you planned to smuggle.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. This one again. It's one of our straightforward ones for sure. The Dictionary of Slang, Jargon, and Cant is what it's called, published in 1889, has a usage from the Omaha Herald. called the usage is the bootleg plan, which they're defining as a trickery. Like, as in something is afoot, the boot is on the other leg, in that way, something is awry.
Oh, this is a little sort of off the tangent.
Yeah.
Use of this.
Yeah, this is another like side. Like, oh, this is interesting. But it's this usage I found is in reference to concealing a flask of liquor down the leg of your boot.
Right.
Right. The quote from the Omaha Herald about the bootleg plan is, "There is much whiskey consumed in Iowa now as there was before, for medical purposes only, and on the bootleg plan, and saloons run openly in the larger towns in defiance of the laws." This is going on during Prohibition back in the day.
Sure.
But the bootleg plan was how you got your medicinal purpose whiskey out there in the Omaha.
That's like
I read that, I was laughing.
That's like the modern day reefer card. What do you call that?
Yeah,
thing?
The medical marijuana card.
Yes.
Yeah, the bootleg plan was our early adopter. This is the way to get by for
sure.
Your medical fixes.
I'm just going to go to my doctor.
Yes. But this word, I mean, it's all over early times. They're talking about even early 1800s, but there's no like specific. There's a thing you did. You had boots on. You hid stuff in them. And then there's another possible origin that is from 1533, which precedes the 1844 usage.
It's really far back.
It's just that same, the boot is on the other leg kind of definition in this Old English sense. But it, like I said, it's difficult to read. But it ends with the boot sore for either leg. One boots for either leg. I could ask my dad, honestly. He knows this stuff. I should just message him and say, like, hey, how do you say this?
Then you start a whole conversation. You don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. Bootleg's pretty straightforward. I'm trying to gussy it up a little, but...
No, you gussy.
There's some more gussying, but it's just kind of... You know, during Prohibition, it's obviously very much in the news all over the town. People busting bootlegging rings and the... I don't know, that was like the sort of main purpose of the FBI for a while, or the only one. Because, the bootlegging rings sort of codified organized crime and started that off. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know everything I know from this, I know from watching Boardwalk Empire. So I'm sure they told an exacting, straightforward accounting of how that evolved.
Did they talk about a Captain Bill McCoy in that show? I don't know. I haven't seen it. He was a noted rum runner back in the day, and I'm curious. Is that like it's in the 1920s, right?
Some of them give them their same names,
gotcha.
And some of them they change these guys' names a little bit. Like I think anyway, I'm just but from what I knew about that was. Bootleg wise, because I don't, you know, you would walk down the street, you know, and then someone has a flask in their boot and you go around the corner with them and you give them a shilling or wherever people paid for stuff back then and you get a sip.
That was the bootleg plan. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you did it.
I came across that as actual research. So they picked that up correctly.
No. This is just stuff I learned maybe from, one of the PBS, that PBS Prohibition show. Also a fine show about bootlegging, etc.
Exactly.
Yes.
It was a popular one for sure. No, I looked through the transcripts on that one.
All Nine Yards is not supported by Boardwalk Empire or PBS. But they're welcome to send money and mash the subscribe button.
So yeah, bootlegging.
Bootlegging.
It comes from sticking things you want hidden in the leg of your boot to get them places that you wouldn't be able to out in the open.
I have to get some bigger boots, I guess. Nothing will fit in my boots.
There was one more I'm going to throw out there, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
That mentions a word that we use around these parts, which I had never heard before I started working here, which is shooper.
I thought it was going to be Jagger Bush.
Shooper.
Shooper.
Right.
Yeah, I say shooper on the regular.
But do you have a definition of it?
You know, for me, Sometimes it means a portion, and sometimes I mean a large portion. Right. It depends on
That's how we've adopted it here. This is our local usage of this word. But yes. Apparently it refers to a type of bottle, the French referring to an old English drinking vessel, the blackjack, a leather bottle sometimes lined with silver. So they were like, this is curious. They called it a shooper, but somehow in there, it also took on the connotation of a boot, like the look of the bottle, the leather bottle with the silver lining on it. So there's like a bootleg reference to this word shooper. And I mentioned the word shooper because we use it here.
Yes.
It was interesting to see that come across in 1894, the Iola Register of Iola, Kansas. So yeah. I tried to make that one flourishy.
No, that big had finish. A lot of flourish.
Ta-da! What do you have?
You know, the body parts are simple. And so I have hand over fist.
Okay.
I'd say.
Yeah, hand right? over fist.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I do. So hand over fist, we always mm-hmm. use that to mean making some money.
Yeah.
It's always preceded by, man, she's making money hand over
fist.
Yes,
I've heard that usage for sure.
Right?
Yes.
And there have been times in my life when I'd give a cockeyed to it and go, what
sure.
is that? Why mm-hmm. do you say that? But for the most part, we just say the things that we say, and we know that in context of how we're saying them, people know what we mean.
That's what they are.
But nobody really knows what we mean if we sit and think about it or dissect it.
Right. You're like, why would I hold a hand over my fist? Or whatever.
Right. I have made those gestures before in joking. Ha ha, like this? Ha ha.
There's emojis that do that, I bet.
Sure, there has to be. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So tracing this back, man, let me talk to you. 1736. Wow. Now, there's this quote. Where is this from? Something British in 1736. Here's a quote. A lusty young man attempted to go down hand over hand, as the workmen call it, by means of a single rope. Well, my first question is, why is he lusty?
Right. You really started that off in a different place, guys. Lusty. So, right. Okay. What? And then.
What's he doing with this rope?
We need some more context here.
I can only figure that maybe I didn't dig down that path, but maybe lusty meant just that he was young and studly or
filled
something.
Filled with life.
You know, I don't,
passionate
yeah.
about climbing ropes. Gotcha. Sure. Right. We're all.
But note that it said hand over hand.
Hand over hand.
Oh, yeah. Hund.
Okay.
Something hund.
Yeah.
Right?
Makes sense. That's how you would climb a rope. Right.
Sure. It appears early 1800s several times in several connotations, but right away, pretty early on, early 19th century, it is referred to in our common context of making money. So you go, how is this to be? I found this in a bunch of spots. This, The Life and Writings of Major Jack Downing.
All right.
1833.
Ah. What's Major Jack have to say?
Something, something, something.
No, sure.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's a long sentence.
Yes.
Clawed the money off of his table hand over fist.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Something, something's even more intriguing now. Was he like, come on. Okay. So he's grasping for it. Is that how I'm?
Just you sit right there with that thought. I could answer that, but I think it's best not. Here. Now there is, I'm not even going to elaborate on this one. There's, Ray, what I call a meh postulation, meh. Right? Can we hear from the meh?
The meh sheep.
Meh.
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 Meh. And did you like that? And so this postulation is this long. You know how sometimes they try to explain one of these idioms with, like, it couldn't have evolved from it because it's too tedious
consider. This is too difficult.
So in order for them to describe, there's some process of making actual minted coins where then you end up basically like grabbing at them to bring them into your vessel or whatever the heck you're doing. And you would do so in the same way that fellow clawed the money off of the table, right? And so making money hand over fist is supposed to be
literally
making
right.
money. I'm like, no, not buying it. But they went to great extent to explain this process and how then one's hand would be over one's fist.
But you're saying there's evidence that that's not the case. That's not the case.
As you probably know, this is another one that I'm afraid is most likely attributable to the sailing industry.
Oh, man. We're heading back to our roots. It's nice to see.
But, I mean, we can't be 100% sure, but it seems that way. So the earliest, I mean, first of all, that one in 1736, he was climbing a rope. I mean, I don't walk down the street and climb ropes. I mean, I guess maybe if you were in some sort of factory, I guess, but...
A rope climbing factory? What do you...
Well, I mean, in the 1700s, I mean, what did you have? Hey, Jim, you're lusty.
Lusty Jim.
Go up that rope and bring us down those two pails. I don't know what people did, but you would expect, right? But I think really it's ship stuff. That's where the ropes are, right?
I mean, notably.
And the knots that you could hold on to.
You need them. Yeah, sure.
So the term seems to come from pulling in the rope of a ship. And you do that fast and steady. And if you picture it, the original incarnation was hand over hand. If you're pulling this rope in, you pass, you grab it, and then you pass the other hand that had let it go back over that hand and grab it again. And so you said hand over hand, but really that other hand that's in grab mode is a fist at this point. And then the hand passing over it is a hund. So...
Got grabby there and you got hundy.
Yeah, hundy and grabby. And you have hand over subsequent fist. Yeah. And that's how a bill becomes a law, I think.
Don't pull the rug out under me. This is right? I'm saying don't like pull the rug out. This is right. This is the actual definition. You're not just jerking me around so I can get excited for no reason.
No, this is the cut and dried seeming...
See,
definition.
Yours was concise, but it was more satisfying.
Of ship-like
nice.
Origins. You know what else is more satisfying, Ray?
That one candy bar. I'm going to guess that it's our ads.
It is our ads.
Ha
And so BRB.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart. Online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
Weren't those commercials great?
I found them to be very informative.
I don't even think of them as commercials. They're like adverts.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're still on this body part thing.
For the rest.
And the body parts we do find to be concise.
Yeah, seemingly.
At least in this
so
episode.
Far.
Yeah, yes. So far.
Right. And mine will not disappoint in that either. Mine is a piggyback.
Piggyback.
Yes.
All right.
And we know this. We use it to mean, you know, carrying someone on your back.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
But while standing on two legs.
Right. Not.
Because if you're on all fours, like a kid gets on your back or something, that's a horsey.
You're like a horse,
ride,
yeah.
Right?
You're giving them some kind of ride.
Yeah, but yeah. if you're giving a piggyback ride, in my world, you're standing.
Sure.
And their legs are hooked under your arms, like on your hips. And some people choke you in fear
people,
of falling, and
most
some
people.
Won't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you get the choke no matter what. Like, even if good intentions are there, you're going to get choked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just happens. Because you're people. You're not in sync. You're not one giant thing. You're two different, distinct entities that writhe and move in different ways.
Right. Like the Snuffleupagus.
Well, inside of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So this term, piggyback, has had many Ron Perl mutations over the years. And no, it does not relate to any sort of hog or pig.
What kind of permutation?
I just wanted to sneak that in there. Ron Perl mutations.
What is that?
Ron Perlman. He's an actor.
Oh, yeah, I know Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Do you know Ron Perlman is in that great movie that I love?
Hellboy?
No. Before I Disappear.
Oh, nice.
And he plays a hard, derriered fellow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He does that well. He's a great actor.
We're
I
still
like
not
him.
Swearing on this, right?
No, we're keeping it pretty. I mean, I think I've said...
a hell or a damn.
Yeah, I think I even let it through. Is that...
Jeez, I think that one's off limits.
Okay, we'll back that one up then. I'm pretty sure there was one that came out.
All right,
but so, yeah, Ron Perlman, great guy.
And he has something to do with piggybacking.
No, I wanted to say permutations.
Oh, I see. This is like those British Barney Rubble thing.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Yes.
Sort of.
It's a Cockney rhyming slang.
Yes.
Ah, that's probably one that's there already.
I need to get that into my life. Just keep forgetting.
yeah. But the earliest form of piggyback... which came across to me from Phrase Finder UK, was the medieval pickback / pickpack of 1560s.
Say again?
Pickback and pickpack.
Pickpack and pickback.
Pick, yes.
Yeah.
It's started with those, but it's... Over the years, it's been, you know, a pick-a-pack, pick-a-back, pig-a-back, pick-a-backed. And I mean, really, just throw the words around.
But why was it pick-a-back?
Well, to pick apart this phrase.
Oh!
Pick is the medieval version of the word pitch. As in, well, there's two, honestly. As in one, to fix in a definite position, which I enjoyed, which is like pitch a tent.
Oh, right.
So you would pitch something to your back. You would affix it to your back. And back stands for back. That's where you would pitch things.
Yeah, you don't say.
But pitch, as you know as well, is also that sticky tar substance.
I need some of that for this job.
Right. Which...
Yeah, it's sort of a goopy...
Right.
Yeah, tar-like.
Which would also affix something in place.
Yeah, it's sticky.
So I'm assuming they mean to strap in the form of pitch to fix it to, not to stick it to, but I'm just giving people the option of saying maybe they mean stick.
Could be.
Could be. Yeah.
So you're saying...
Yes.
Tell me again what you're saying. This... It would be a fix it to my back.
Yeah, you would...
And it was really pitch, but pick, which meant pitch. And then people just screwed that up over time into piggy?
Well, it goes through, again, it has several, just whatever, pick back, pick a back, a pick a pack. You know, they keep, it's because it's, you know, one of the things we like to say, so it's fun. So it changes and morphs over time and time and time and time and time. So yeah, and then there is in 1838, in a dialogue in a Devonshire dialect from 1838, pigaback said of schoolboys that ride on one another's backs, straddling as an Irishman would carry a pig, is one early use. But the first time we see piggyback seems to be in 1843 in Bernard Rushall's The New Purchase, which is a book about the new frontier life of Indiana. Yeah. And in this, these is a short story of a bunch of rubes basically racing around with literal pigs on their backs during a wedding. So it's not a figurative use. He's literally describing what these yokels are doing. They've got these pigs on their backs and they're running around in this wedding reception.
And do you think that had something to do with the morphification?
I think that's a part of how it got there. Yes, that's what I'm postulating.
Oh, all right.
Yes, sorry. I just said another usage. But yeah, a theory about that is that, yes, it could come from there. Although it's a literal use, so it's not technically an idiom, you know?
Right.
And even if you used it as an idiom from that sense, you're sort of, I mean, you're not carrying a pig. But yeah. Another... theory is, though it wasn't highly recommended or highly agreed upon, was on the pig's back was an Irish 17th century saying, which meant life of luxury, well off. And it's really cool looking.
How's it look?
It looks cool. It's, I looked up how to say it and everything, but I don't think I'm going to do it right. Armun na mukya. This is on the pig's back.
What language is this?
This is old 17th century Irish.
Okay.
Armun na mukya.
That's what you said.
I'm just making sure. I think I'm saying it right.
Sure.
Like, you know, right, but like close. Yeah, and that means on the pig's back. But there wasn't a lot of support for that theory being the origin.
And this would be a wealthy Slothian type character lying about.
Living the life of luxury.
Yeah.
Yes. That would exactly be that.
How about that?
But, I mean, it really seems like it was just a permutation or a... What did we say? What are they called? I forget now. Not malapropisms. No, the words when they change over the...
No, it's not malapropism.
Yeah, that's not it. What was the...
That's a hard day's night.
Right. But yes, it's more of that. It just morphed and morphed and morphed over from pick back to piggyback.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, some theories came along in there and said, like, yeah, this might be, but it really kind of feels like it was just one of those fun things that happens over time.
So it's either or a combination of evolutionatoriness from the affix it to my back... And then the Indiana yokels.
That's in the story, yes.
In a story, of course. And then to now.
Yeah, from pick pack to piggyback. I got nothing rhymes. I got nothing. Sorry, everybody.
I mean, that's great.
Pick pack to piggyback. Give a dog a bone.
That is really, yes.
Yeah.
And there's your poof. Bob's your uncle.
That's it. Bob's my uncle, and Ruth's my aunt. No.
Fanny.
Fanny's my aunt.
Fanny's your aunt.
Well, good old Aunt Fanny. So what do you have to wrap this one up?
I'm going to wrap this up with apple of my eye.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
When we say apple of my eye, it means the what now?
Focus? I don't. Oh, no. Is it like a kid thing?
Come on now.
Really, I don't know.
Really think of this.
Apple of my eye?
Yeah, you would say, look, for example, I'm going to give you, hey, a big boy, Van Morrison, Freddie McGregor, Fats Domino, Shania Twain, Rick Ross, Mika G, Stevie Wonder, you are the sunshine of my life.
Yeah.
But then he also sings, you are the apple of my eye.
Right.
That's in context.
Right.
So now, what does it mean? I'm sorry, people.
No. It means, I love you a great deal.
I love you a great deal. Something or someone cherished and loved above all others.
Look at that.
There you go.
We got there.
I could have just given you that.
No, I found my way much more painful.
No, see, that's good. Sometimes pain is the best way of learning.
That's how you learn. That's how I learn.
So you got that. And you know, either that guy, what's his face? Pliny the Elder,
yeah.
And a couple of others, or our friend here, Shakespeare. Shakespeare came up with like 3/4 of the idioms on the planet.
Yeah.
According to our research.
Yeah.
And he hath used this one as well in Midsummer's Night. Night's Dream.
Mm-hmm.
I reversed those plurals or ownerships.
Who owns the night?
Does
the summer own it?
Flower of this purple dye, hit with Cupid's archery, sink in apple of his eye. Huh?
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, at first, it was going to gross me out because this eyeball stuff queeves me out to begin with. But.
Metaphors.
Yeah.
Nice.
It also appears apparently many times in the Christian Bible, this general idea of it.
So it goes on to the thing.
The what?
Well, I'm guessing just the is it a Christian term in the Garden of Eden apple stuff?
I have no proof of this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, nice.
No, it's not there.
Okay.
But they use it in the same terms. Something about something. He led about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same context.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So zipping ahead now to early 19th century, 1816.
Yes.
There's a popular novel, I guess. Man, I have so much reading to do to try to catch up with some of these things.
Mm.
This book was written by Sir Walter Scott, and it was called Old Mortality, which seems oddly...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, it's used in there in the same context, but I guess... That was a popular damn book. And so that springboarded this phrase into, general use.
Yeah, most usage. Popular. Vernacular.
So here's some gross stuff. It's not that gross. I mean, most people are fine with it. So the literal meaning of this apple of my eye thing is they didn't used to have, a word... for your pupil.
Okay.
And I don't know, I thought back in those days, they just did dissection. Like I have that book, right? They just chop people up to try to learn, right?
Yeah, that's how you learn.
But I don't know why, even then, no one had chopped up enough parts to realize that they thought the pupil was a hard little thing.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Like the lens.
And so they thought it was this little round thing. I don't know why they didn't call it the orange of my eye. That's a rounder thing. They didn't have oranges. Right. But apple is what they used.
Yeah.
So I know.
All right.
But I tell you that sort of gross story because, so your eyesight is something very dear to you.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that the pupil is a hard little ball shaped like an apple. No, of course we didn't know that.
Sure.
That wasn't really true.
What do we
know?
But
you thought it was a hard little thing.
Right.
And so if somebody was that to you, they were as dear to you as your eyesight. And therefore, the heart of your eyesight being that hard little apple-y pupil, that's what you called them.
All right.
To me, it's a little gross. But people did gross things back then.
Sure.
So that was a term of quasi-endearment, as it were.
Yeah.
Am I buying it 100%? Not 100%.
Yeah.
But many have. Many do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This idea, you know, it goes
way back?
Even further. Back to, let me talk to you for a second.
So really? Okay.
Yeah, King Alfred of Wessex, Gregory's Wessex. Pastoral Care. There's a book for you, or a scroll. Check that scroll out of your local library.
What year do we got on these bad boys?
880.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty far back.
That's pretty far back.
Wow.
But it, too, was alluding to the sense of the pupil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Still doesn't look like an apple.
80.
Wow.
And that
is
body parts.
Ta-da!
So, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening.
Man, we were concise today, weren't we?
Certainly better than some.
Better than some.
Yeah. I mean, of ours, not judging other people.
No.
Yes.
How would we know?
I don't know.
So, send us your thoughts, concerns, criticisms, what do I say? Relative conundrums.
Yeah, that works.
Send us all of your stuff to those places, Whole Nine Yards Pod, Instagram, Whole Nine Yards Pod, tweet. and give us great joy with your input.
Yes.
And until then, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@wholenineyards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.